As we look at the final week of Jesus' life and ministry prior to his death and resurrection, his days were full. And he moved toward being impaled upon a cross. Changed all of our lives. We're here this morning because Jesus was good to you and me. We're coming in 4 short weeks to the time we celebrate as Easter or the time of resurrection. Resurrection Sunday. As we come toward Passion Week, I want us to look at several elements of how our Lord conducted himself and how he trained, how he taught, how he demonstrated himself and showed us how to live. In the face of the most horrific time to come as that final sacrifice, the Lamb of God, he gave and he gave, and turn to each other and say, and he gave. The 4 Gospels, and this is up there, Pat, provide a different perspective, different themes, if you will, for the different readers that each of the Gospel had as they were written. The book of Matthew was written to the Jews to show that Jesus is the promised Messiah of the Old Testament prophecy, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the strength that's imparted and royal authority is what you find especially expressed through the Gospel of Matthew. The book of Mark, probably the first Gospel written, and others referred back to the Gospel of Mark as their text and as their basis, you find Jesus expressed as the servant who especially ministers to the physical and spiritual needs of the others. And you find him engaged in rapid movement. Straightway is one of the King James word that's used often through the book of Messiah, or book of Mark rather, to show Jesus as the Son of God. And it's typified by the ox or the bull, the servant with strength and with power. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, was written by a Gentile writer to give the full story and the full orb of Jesus' life and shows Jesus and portrays Jesus especially as the compassionate Savior of the world who moved with love for all people. You see him moving to rich and to poor and to men, and especially you find him ministering to a lot of women, stories that are in the book of Luke as Jesus reached out to all people and he's identified as the man with wisdom and character. And then you find in the book of John, he focuses on the theological meaning, if you will, of Jesus' actions. And what and who Jesus is much more than what Jesus did. Although that's crucial too. And you can find expressed through the Gospel of John that he is the Christ, the Son of God, the eagle or the deity. And I want us to turn to John chapter 13 this morning. I'll have a couple of other verses I'm going to use, but if you'll turn to John chapter 13, I'm going to do some considerable reading from the scripture this morning, and it's not all going to be up there. But context provides a depth of meaning for us as we take a look at how Jesus kept giving. Jesus keeps giving. That's the name of the message this morning. How many are glad that he does? Amen. Jesus keeps giving. Turn to each other and say, aren't you glad he keeps giving to you? While you're turning to John chapter 13, I want to provide a little bit of context for where we're going this morning. And some of you may be expecting communion right away. We do communion on the second Sunday of every month. We're going to serve communion and have communion as a celebration at the end of the message this morning, because we're going to provide context for where we're going. Context provides depth of meaning. Mark chapter 14, you don't need to turn to it because I have you in John 13, but let me show you a couple of verses. Context. Here's what's going on. Verses 1 and 2. After 2 days, it was the what? It was the Passover. and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you find God's timetable expressed through the feasts that are taking place from Old Testament to New. And we went through considerable teaching on the feasts of the Lord here in this church. You'll find them online, gracechristiancenter.us. But it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might, say it with me please, take him by trickery and put him to death. But they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. So there's your verses 1 and 2 of that chapter of Mark. Now in verses 3 through 9, again, I don't need you to turn there. I'm just going to give you the context. In verses 3 through 9, remember, we have a precious story of a woman with a flask of alabaster ointment and oil, and she comes and breaks the flask and pours the oil over Jesus' head. Some disciples, the scripture says in the book of Mark, are indignant, and they say it could have been, should have been, sold for the poor. What's Jesus' response? Jesus silences them. And he announces that this story is going to be shared throughout all the world. She did this in preparation for his burial. And he says, wherever this gospel is preached, this story will be told. One of the most important stories of Scripture that is told. She came and she poured out her heart to the Lord in preparation and in worship as he was getting ready to be buried. Third context. So you have the chief priests and Pharisees and leaders saying, we're going to get him. Then you have this wonderful worship event. And then you have, in verses 10 through 11, these words. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest, please say it with me, to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were what? They were glad. And promised to give him money. So he sought how he might, please say this next phrase, it's fascinating in this text, conveniently betray him. In a few short verses, we see our Lord begin to enter his passion week, where he would shortly, literally, be giving his all to us, with the context swirling about of betrayal. The Pharisees, the chief priests, are jealous. They want him gone. But they fully recognize that the people love him. So this time of great celebration, the feast days, one of the most important gatherings of people to Jerusalem, when it's time to celebrate before the Lord, is filled with intrigue and betrayal. And then, in a moment that should be celebrated, a tremendous act of worship, this alabaster box of ointment probably contained ointment that was worth an entire year's worth of wages. Possibly was an heirloom passed down through the generations. And this woman found a moment and found a person whom she loved so much, she said, there's never been another moment in my life or in my generations where it's more important to give this offering. He captures my heart and my spirit. There's never been a better time. And in this moment of celebration, you think everyone would rejoice with her. What a wonderful thing she's done. But do they? How do they respond? Some are indignant. They're angry. Frankly, this is the context where Jesus says, in the story where Jesus said, the poor you have with you always, but folks, I ain't always going to be here. Interesting. He says, I don't want you to chide this woman. But in this high moment, the national celebration feast days, you should be celebrating. But it's intrigue and betrayal. And then this time when it's a fantastic story of giving and worship, some sourpuss is pulling it down. You ever had a great time where you went to church and enjoyed being with the Lord, and then you got home and your family speared you or friends speared you? You did what? And you went where? And people whom she expected to join with her probably didn't. Then Judas, one of his own, at least on the outside, who had been with him for 3.5 years, arranges, set up the circumstances, conveniently betrays him. Now, there's a variety of reasons postulated as to why Judas may have done that. It's possible that Judas wanted Jesus to come to the throne. I mean, after all, the Zealots wanted a Messiah who would take over the throne and kick Rome out of their country again. And maybe Judas was one of those. Or maybe he just was embarrassed by what the Lord kept doing. Who knows? But he was a betrayer. Consider just for a moment the pain of what Jesus must have been experiencing as his heart moves to his final days of ministry, and context provides depth of meaning. Now watch, John chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. John 13, we're going to begin in verse 1, and this section deals with foot washing. And this section is Jesus gives through foot washing. Watch what takes place. I'm going to read quite a number of scriptures. If you don't have a Bible with you, there are many in the back of the room, but you're welcome to get one. Someone around you will get one. But chapter 13, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, verses 1 through 20. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, please say the phrase with me, he loved them to the end. You all there? John chapter 13. Now I'm going to go into verse 2. Everybody there? Say, I'm here, Pastor Kev. Okay. Those of you who didn't respond, I'm sorry. Lord, wake you up. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come from God and was going to God, he knew exactly who he was. He knew exactly what he had done and what he had come to do, where he had come from, where he was going. Verse 4, he rose from supper then and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, verse 6, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? How many might feel a little bit like Peter? You're too good for me. You don't need to wash my feet. In verse 7, Jesus answered and said, what I'm doing now, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now, sometimes, people say, I'm too bad to go to church. How many know only the bad come to church to get better, right? I don't deserve Jesus. Well, guess what? You're in good company. Nobody deserves Jesus and what he's done. Isn't that the good news? There's some scripture that says, those who were the bad and the thieves and the robbers, those are the ones who God said, not many rich, not many mighty came to Jesus. So look around and say, you're in good company. But he says, Lord, no, I'm not going to have you do this. And Jesus says, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part of me. The thing I love about Peter, I love his responsive heart. Yes, Peter goes on to have his problems. But the thing is, he's expressive and he's alive and he loves the Lord. What comes rushing out of Peter's spirit as Jesus says, if you don't let me do this, you don't have any part with me. Verse 9, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, my hands and my head. Okay, do the job. Wash my hands and head too. Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, for you are clean, but not all of you. Verse 11, for he knew who would betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to him, do you know what I have done to you? And of course, this is your context, your verses for the celebration of foot washing. We've done foot washing several times in this congregation. We'll do so again. Some of you are looking at, he's not doing that this morning, is he? Not this morning. I didn't wash my toes. Okay. Do you know what I have done to you? Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, verse 14, your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, his servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Verse 17. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. Jesus sets aside his power, his glory, to come serve and be in service. In this case, he sets aside his garment and he's wrapped with a towel and he has a towel and he begins to wash their feet. And Peter says, I don't want you to wash my feet. He says, you don't have any part of me if you don't let me do this. Peter says, okay, my hands and head. And Jesus answers and said, if you've been washed, you're bathed inside and out. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've surrendered to him, if you've been baptized in water, and by the way, if you have not yet been baptized by immersion for circumcision of heart and water, I urge you to jump into the waters of baptism. Life-changing, absolutely dynamic. It is not just some static, traditional experience. There's life imparted through Jesus, through the elements of what he does in communion and in water baptism. Baptism is dynamically powerful. Lead your family into it. Get a fresh experience in the Lord if you don't have that. But he says, if you have that, you're still going to walk day by day in the world. Though you're not of the world, you're still in the world. Can I ask you an honest question? Does anybody in this room besides me ever have any frustration? Does anybody in this room besides me ever have trouble with nobody in your family, of course, but anybody else in life? Does anybody in this world ever, have you ever had trouble with anybody in the grocery store? Come on, let me see the show of hands. Have you ever given trouble to, no, you don't have to show that hand. Does anybody find that the end of a day comes and after struggling sometimes, there's some frustrations you might have and maybe experienced in the world that day. And Jesus says, so you need to be washed. Now, in that day, they walked on these streets. And guess what? These weren't all nicely asphalted brick and stone and wonderful Roman roads everywhere. There were roads that were dirty and they were dusty. And guess what? There were animals on that road. And so if you weren't careful, your cowboy boot ended up in something you didn't want it to. And so you get to your friend's house or to a guest, be a guest in someone's home, and what would they do? A servant would come or the owner would come and there'd be a basin of water and remove your sandal and then they would wash your feet. And if you refused it, you were refusing the service of the master. But if you received it, there was refreshing that came. And Jesus says, day by day, there's a washing and a refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. Peter attempts to deny and then surrenders fully. So Jesus then washes all their feet. Remember, context, intrigue. They're planning his arrest and death. A woman washes his feet, or his head rather, anoints him with oil, and instead of rejoicing, they're upset. And then Judas goes and betrays. And then Jesus washes their feet. I want to ask you a really honest question. Who all was there for foot washing? Were there any disciples missing? Were there any disciples missing? What about the one who was going to betray him? Was he there or had he already sneaked out? Oh, are you telling me that Jesus, knowing full well the pain and the agony and the rejection and the betrayal that was to come, knelt down and washed even Judas's feet? Can we be honest? Would that be tough? Would that be hard for you? That'd be tough. If I know you're getting ready to stab me in the back, I'm a passionate kind of guy. I'm going to have a tough time smiling at you saying, why don't you let me serve you? And Jesus says, I'm showing how to live. I keep giving. Ouch. Does that do any ouch experience for you this morning in your heart of hearts? Come on, think of one person you might need a better relationship with. Okay, even if you didn't want that person to go through your mind, he already or she already would did. Okay? Lord, I don't want to go do foot washing with this person. Well, the Lord might not be asking you to do foot washing, but the Lord might be asking you to give again and try again. Section number 3, Jesus keeps giving even in the Last Supper. Now, I'm going to read some scriptures here to you from Matthew 26, verses 20 through 28. Matthew 26, verses 20 through 28. And I'm not asking you to turn there because we're going to go back to continue on in John 13. When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. And now as they were eating, he said, assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, Lord, is it I? He answered and said, he who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it was written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? He said to him, you have said it. Verse 26 of Matthew 26, and they were eating. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Now let's go on to verse 21 of John chapter 13. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 21. Verse 21 of John chapter 13. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom he spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, and Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then, leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered and said, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, meaning Judas, and Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. The Greek word for Jesus being troubled in spirit is tarasso. Can you say it with me? Tarasso. And it means he was stirred. He was agitated like the roiling or broiling of water. He was stirred in his spirit. spirit and his heart is troubled as he considers the intrigue and the betrayal and what's happening. And he's just washed the feet of his disciples and the time is coming closer where he's going to be more brutally beaten and battered than anyone had ever been pre-tortured prior to crucifixion, which was an inhumanely cruel form of punishment that happened during a sliver of history and time. But it happened during this time when Jesus was here. And Jesus is trying to set aside some of his last moments with his disciples and those who with whom he'd walked and those whom he loved. And there's a betrayer there. And he didn't even soften his spirit after Jesus had washed his feet. Interestingly, and Judas was there for the breaking of bread, but when it came time to drink from the fruit of the vine, representing his blood shed, Judas departed. How many know that we all need the cleansing blood of Jesus? I had someone say to me one time, I'm going to come to your service, but I don't want to hear anything about bloody lambs. That whole blood business, I don't want it. And guess what I preached on that morning? Because we need the blood of Jesus. His blood shed for us on the cross, not ours. You understand, you're not good enough to die for your own sin. It took the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. Turn to each other and say, aren't you glad Jesus took your place in mine? So Judas then isn't there for the what's called here in John. It's actually referred to as the Last Supper Discourse. When he goes on and he talks as you read these fantastic chapters about loving one another and a new commandment I give to you. And when he talks about these kinds of things about serving one another and not trying to lord it over each other. And then he talks about, I'm going to leave and I know that makes you sad, but I'm going to send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit to strengthen you. And he's pouring out his heart and his soul for his last moments on this side of the cross to those who had sacrificed and walked with him. And in the midst of the betrayal and in the intrigue, Jesus keeps giving. Yes. And we read in the scripture that Judas finally becomes horrified at his betrayal. But his shame didn't lead him back to Jesus for forgiveness, did it? Judas attempted to deal with his sin himself, and he was as successful as we are when we try to do penance to remove our own sin, which means completely unsuccessful. We need Jesus. Come on, church, we need Jesus. Church, we need Jesus. We need Him. Frantic, Judas runs to the edge of a cliff, one of the cliffs on which Jerusalem stands. You can see him with shaking hands. He ties a piece of old rope around the limb of a tree and then around his own neck, and he casts himself out off of the cliff and into space. The rope jerks and it stretches and breaks. I'm not even successful in dealing with my own sin. And it breaks and he falls to earth and dies on the jagged rocks below. And his own blood is shed, when only the blood of Jesus being shed gives us forgiveness, gives us cleansing. Church, how about you and me? Lest we simply understand this story conceptually, this all applies to you and me today. Jesus gives, even if we're hardened inside and still in sin. Jesus gives, even if we're embarrassed about what others think about us going to church. And Jesus gives when we're ashamed for what we've done, and or if we're lonely or we're hurting. Jesus gives to you and to me. So, if you've given Him your life today, celebrate and thank God. Come on, look up and go, whew. Aren't you glad Jesus did this for you? If you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you, the Messiah, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the final sacrifice who took your sins and mine after being impaled on a cross of Calvary, who died, was buried, but rose again for your sin and for mine. If you've not given Him your life, do it today. The Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Before we participate in communion with this context, this understanding, the Last Supper provides the context of what communion is. And I think it's important as we take a look of Resurrection Sunday to come. What happened and what was really going on? And for us to feel a moment or two of maybe a little bit of what Jesus might have been feeling. I want to finish with just one little perspective. When you go to your commentaries and try to find a history of Judas, you can only find about him his father's name. You can find a couple of mentions about Judas taking care of the money and about Judas being called a thief. In other words, at times he would avail himself of the money in the bag. It didn't all go to the poor. And you don't find hardly anything. And I think there's a reason for that. You know why? Because any of us in this room could have been Judas. Did he have a part he played? Absolutely he did. But any of us in this room, whenever you turn your back on the Lord, we become a betrayer. Whenever we choose sin instead of Jesus, we betray Him. And so I think it's kind of appropriate. There's not some huge history we know about Judas, because we would be tempted to ascribe all of that to then a man in history, when what we really can do is stop and say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. What I want to be is a son or daughter of yours in the faith, saved by grace through the precious blood of Jesus. How about you?
Yes.
Jesus keeps giving. What a God. What a Lord. What a great, loving Savior. Amen?
Yes.
If you'll get the elements ready, let's participate in communion with that understanding this morning. And if you're not a member of this church, we have an open table here. And that means we participate by faith through grace. If you've given your life to Jesus, you are welcome to participate with us. You don't have to be a member of this church to do so. What you do need to do is make sure you've given your life to Him. And if you have, then celebrate. If you haven't, pray with me, church. Lord Jesus, today, I surrender to You with full thanksgiving that You continue to give. I give You my life. I surrender my heart and soul fully to You. Wash me clean by Your blood that You shed for me at Calvary. And we give You thanks. I receive You by faith as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is Paul's understanding as he teaches us through what we are to participate in today. Beginning in verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. If you've received the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can surrender and enjoy the celebration, the Eucharist of communion. It's a celebration. And it really is indeed a time where we can be so grateful for all that he's done. If you've not surrendered your life to the Lord yet, I urge you, come up front afterwards and we'll be honored to pray with you. We will take time if you need to talk and surrender to Jesus. We'll be honored to do that. But as we hold this bread in our hands, we understand by faith as we participate that it becomes the body of our Lord, broken for us, and we do this in remembrance of him. Amen. Let's participate together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your body broken for us. Thank you, Jesus, for your good news. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you have done for us and how you care. Lord Jesus, that your body was broken and by your stripes we're healed and there's healing even imparted. And as we receive you this morning in fresh ways, we believe that life, your divine life, is imparted as we participate, even in the Eucharist this morning. As we participate in the fruit of the vine, we are understanding, we are ratifying the covenant. We're saying again, we're confirming, Lord, I'm yours. Let's do this in remembrance of him and take the fruit of the vine together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We rejoice in you this morning, our God. Thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. We give you praise. We give you thanks. And we worship you, Lord. We worship you. Are you grateful that Jesus didn't just die, but he was buried and then he rose again?
Yes. Yeah.
Are you grateful? Yeah. Isn't he good? Yeah. Come on, turn to each other. Say it southern. Ain't he great?
Ain't he great?
Ain't he great, ain't he great, y'all? Musicians, why don't you come back up and let's finish with that last song that we sang this morning. Blessed be the Lord God Almighty in the key of C. Again, if you're here as we close and want to come on up, we'll be honored to pray with you. If you need healing in your body, we'll be honored to do that. We invite you and welcome you back anytime. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Bless your people as they go from this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. And above all, we are so grateful to you for continuing to give and give and give. We love you, Lord. And they all said,
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Be released in the presence of the Lord.